is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
To the south of France, to Occitane, Simon Constable, writing for Barron's and other distinguished publications, we come to the news of the moment about inflation worldwide and especially in the United States, food inflation. Stubborn inflation pressures, writes the Wall Street Journal, persisted, derailing the case for the Federal Reserve to begin reducing interest rates in June and raising questions over whether it can deliver cuts this year without signs of an economic slowdown. The Consumer Price Index, a measure of goods and services prices across the economy, rose 3.5% from a year earlier. That was a touch higher than economists had forecast, a touch higher. Therein lies the game. Simon, a very good evening to you. You have an excellent piece about food worldwide. The food inflation is said to be the political challenge for the Biden reelection campaign. Gasoline prices have moderated in the $3 range here in New England. However, the food means that, as one of my correspondents told me, you go into a grocery store and you come out having spent $115 and you still don't have enough for dinner. So what you discovered is that food is worldwide a growing concern. How so? Good evening to you, Simon.
Good evening to you, John. It is a growing concern across the globe. Most of these markets for the basic foundations of our food system are running very low at the moment. So we're looking at grain production. We're talking about wheat and corn and soybeans and other similar things to that. But let's leave it with those. The amount of these grains in storage has dropped as a percentage of what's needed lately. And so that means there's little room for any error in growing or in how you do things or a bad weather pattern or anything like that. And if that happens, and you've also got the war situation going on in Ukraine and also with the Red Sea, where grain is moved through those canals or the sea, the Black Sea, back into the Mediterranean. Now, when all of those things are happening, but bad weather, low inventories, and war going on, then anything could happen to push these prices up quite dramatically. That's something that I think no one should want. And people think, well, okay, I know I need my wheat for bread and for pizzas and things like that. But what is not so widely known is that you know, wheat, corn, soybeans, all goes into cattle feed, for cows, for beef cows, for pigs, and basically for protein production. And so if the prices of those grains go up, which they look likely to, because there is a very bad forecast on the weather front coming this year, then you might see farmers saying, well, okay, I can no longer afford to feed these beasts. I will slaughter them instead of that, and then I won't have to pay to feed them. And so this could go terribly wrong, terribly quickly. And we might think, oh, in the West, that isn't going to be that much of a problem, but it will be in middle-income countries such as those in North Africa, like Egypt.
What's wrong with Brazil?
Brazil is suffering from some major problems with its soybean crop. It's got some very harsh weather going on. It is the world's largest producer of soybeans and very high up there on the corn production as well. It's got weather systems, El Nino, La Nina, basically not letting up, and is really scorching the crop and making the crop smaller than it would otherwise have been. This is very bad for Brazil because Brazil relies on its commodity exports in addition to oil and natural gas and things like that. The food and basic foods coming out of there is a problem. The only light spot or good spot for them is that coffee prices are going through the roof. That's not good for the rest of us who need a few cups of coffee in the morning, but it's very much not good on the grain side of things.
You talk to commodity traders. They've seen this before, or is this unusual?
They've seen this before from time to time, But seeing it in concert with wars that are disrupting the global food system, which is what the wars are doing now, when you've got the, you know, the Black Sea and Russia and Ukraine, as well as what's going on in the Middle East, when all of that is going on, that makes it rise up there to a very high level. And I say a very high level of tension and disruption compared to anything that I know about since basically World War II was over.
Let's go to paradise. Yes, there's food inflation here. The market's being hit because of it. Markets overseas are. All the central banks are constrained because of sticky inflation. So paradise. The weather here in southern New England has turned springy. The daffodils are lighting up, marching across the lawn, yellow and white. The rain comes in the afternoon and the sky's clear, 60 degrees. How is it in Occitane?
I would say it's similar here. We're in the mid-60s today. It's reasonably sunny, a little gusty with some wind going around. The wisteria is out and looking absolutely gorgeous. The irises are now flowering. The daffodils are long gone, but we're seeing other things. I can't quite identify them because they certainly didn't grow anywhere else I've lived. But we're seeing spring really springing, and that's great.
All right, let's go to the other part of the news, which is back home. You have been watching the run-up to the election, whenever it's called, by Rishi Sunak. There's a front-page piece on, I believe, The Times today, saying Mr. Sunak, the prime minister, believes that his greatest mistake as PM was not attending to the long lines at the NHS. What does that mean, Simon?
Well, let's first back up a bit. The National Health Service was founded straight after World War II as a free at the cost, free at the point of delivery. So basically paid through taxes. And it has always sort of lagged behind what you might expect a similar private sector operation to do. It's one of the world's biggest employers, and it's become overburdened with too much demand for its services than it has the resources to deal with. Now, he said he wants to deal with waiting lists and all the rest of it. Now, that's been going on since I was a child, that I'm talking about waiting lists and how maybe a private system would be better. And no one's done much about it. I think part of the issue here is that no one can do much about it without abolishing it. I think it would be very dangerous for him to have tried to do anything with it, being a conservative prime minister. If he'd gone for private alternatives, then I think people wouldn't have liked that. Certainly a lot of the left wing wouldn't have liked that. And it's debatable whether the rest of the country would like that. Anyway, good luck to him. I think he's definitely going to get kicked out of office when the general election happens. It would take a near miracle for anything different to happen to that, and we'll see what goes on. Maybe he wants to, you know, do something in the future, maybe work for the NHS at a high level, managerial level, but who knows?
So it's built into English thinking that the NHS means a long waiting list. Is that correct, Simon? We have a few seconds.
Absolutely, it is. You don't expect to be able to go to the doctor tomorrow if you need an operation happening on you, unless it's maybe a bullet wound, but that's fairly rare in the UK.
Simon Constable in the south of France. I'm John Battle.